Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. The impeachment trial of President Trump is resuming right now. They're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And as I understand it, I think that the House managers are supposed to be wrapping up their case here shortly. It's been kind of interesting to see how much people don't really know how the process is going, when it's going to happen, when it's not. I've heard the Trump defense team saying probably not going to take the full 24 hours that they're entitled to make their case. But as we have in the past, we will continue to watch this and bring it to you as specific things become of interest to us. Now, something that is very near and dear to my heart, certainly my emphasis on pro-life issues. President Trump is speaking from the March for Life today. He just finished speaking, actually. So while the impeachment is taking place on Capitol Hill, President Trump, the first United States president to ever speak at the March for Life event. And it's been interesting to see how last year, I think he spoke from the Oval Office. They like channeled him in. The year before that, Mike Pence spoke at it. They've invested in this March for Life, but they have upped their game every single year in their involvement in these specific pro-life issues. And I wanted to give you the opportunity right here on the Annie Fry Show to hear his speech today. It's not terribly long, so we're going to play it for you right now.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Jeannie. It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life. We're here for a very simple reason: to defend the right of every child, born and unborn, to fulfill their God-given potential. For 47 years, Americans of all backgrounds have traveled from across the country to stand for life. And today, as President of the United States, I am truly proud to stand with you. I want to welcome tens of thousands. This is a tremendous turnout. Tens of thousands of high school and college students who took long bus rides to be here in our nation's capital. And to make you feel even better, there are tens of thousands of people outside that we passed on the way in. If anybody would like to give up their spot, we can work that out. You have a tremendous group of people outside. Thousands and thousands wanted to get in. This is some great success. Young people are the heart of the March for Life, and it's your generation that is making America the pro-family, pro-life nation. The life movement is led by strong women, amazing faith leaders, and brave students who carry on the legacy of pioneers before us, who fought to raise the conscience of our nation and uphold the rights of our citizens. You embrace mothers with care and compassion. You are powered by prayer and motivated by pure, unselfish love. You're grateful, and we are so grateful. These are incredible people to be joined by Secretary Alex Azar and Kellyanne Conway. Thank you. And thanks also to Senators Mike Lee and James Lankford, who are here. James, Mike. Thank you, fellas. And Representatives Steve Scalise, Chris Smith, Ralph Abraham, Warren Davidson, Bob Latta, John Joyce, Lloyd Smucker, Brian Fitzpatrick, and Brad Winstrup. Thank you all. And I have to say, and I look at it, and I see it exactly, we have many, many more politicians in the audience, but if you don't mind, I won't introduce them all. All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. When we hold a newborn in our arms, we know the endless love that each child brings to a family. When we watch a child grow, we see the splendor that radiates from each human soul. One life changes the world. From my family, and I can tell you, I send love, and I send great, great love. And from the first day in office, I've taken a historic action to support America's families and to protect the unborn. And during my first week in office, I reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy, and we issued a landmark pro-life rule to govern the use of Title X taxpayer funding. I notified Congress that I would veto any legislation that weakens pro-life policies or that encourages the destruction of human life. At the United Nations, I made clear that global bureaucrats have no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that protect innocent life. Unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. And as the Bible tells us, each person is wonderfully made. We have taken decisive action to protect the religious liberty. So important, religious liberty has been under attack all over the world and, frankly, very strongly attacked in our nation. You see it better than anyone, but we are stopping it. And we're taking care of doctors, nurses, teachers, and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. We are preserving faith-based adoption. And to uphold our founding documents, we have confirmed 187 federal judges who apply the Constitution as written, including two phenomenal Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. We are protecting pro-life students' right to free speech on college campuses. And if universities want federal taxpayer dollars, then they must uphold your First Amendment right to speak your mind. And if they don't, they pay a very big financial penalty, which they will not be willing to pay. Sadly, the far left is actively working to erase our God-given rights, shut down faith-based
The president speaking from the March for Life in Washington. It's the first time that a president has ever spoken from this event. And I'm reading a lot of things about people. The crowd is so massive that apparently they didn't even... They don't have the screens up. They don't have the sound pumped far enough back for individuals who are so just flooded into this area to hear what the president has to say. Let's listen. Keep listening to what he has to say to these folks.
Amendment right to speak your mind. And if they don't, they pay a very big financial penalty, which they will not be willing to pay. Sadly, the far left is actively working to erase our God-given rights, shut down faith-based charities, ban religious believers from the public square, and silence Americans who believe in the sanctity of life. They are coming after me because I am fighting for you, and we are fighting for those who have no voice, and we will win because we know how to win. We all know how to win. We all know how to win. You've been winning for a long time. You've been winning for a long time. Together, we are the voice for the voiceless. When it comes to abortion, Democrats, and you know this, you've seen what's happened, Democrats have embraced the most radical and extreme positions taken and seen in this country for years and decades. And you could even say for centuries. Nearly every top Democrat in Congress now supports taxpayer-funded abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. Last year, lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb right up until delivery. Then we had the case of the Democrat governor in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we love the Commonwealth of Virginia, but what is going on in Virginia? What is going on? The governor stated that he would execute a baby after birth. You remember that. Senate Democrats even blocked legislation that would give medical care to babies who survive attempted abortions. And that's why I've called on Congress, two of our great senators here, so many of our congressmen here, and called upon them to defend the dignity of life and to pass legislation prohibiting late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in their mother's womb. This year, the March for Life is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which forever enshrined women's rights to vote in the United States and given by the United States Constitution. Such a big event. Today, millions of extraordinary women across America are using the power of their votes to fight for the right and all of their rights, as given in the Declaration of Independence. It's the right to life. To all the women here today, your devotion and your leadership uplifts our entire nation, and we thank you for that. The tens of thousands of Americans gathered today not only stand for life, it's really here that they stand for it so proudly together. And I want to thank everybody for that. You stand for life each and every day. You provide housing, education, jobs, and medical care to the women that you serve. You find loving families for children in need of a forever home. You host baby showers for expecting moms. You just make it your life's mission to help spread God's grace. And to all of the moms here today, we celebrate you and we declare that mothers are heroes. That's true. Your strength, devotion, and drive is what powers our nation. And because of you, our country has been blessed with amazing souls who have changed the course of human history. We cannot know what our citizens, yet unborn, will achieve, the dreams they will imagine, the masterpieces they will create, the discoveries they will make. But we know this. Every life brings love into this world. Every child brings joy to a family. Every person is worth protecting. And above all, we know that every human soul is divine and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God. Together, we will defend this truth all across our magnificent land. We will set free the dreams of our people. And with determined hope, we look forward to all of the blessings that will come from the beauty, talent, purpose, nobility, and grace of every American child. I want to thank you. This is a very special moment. It's so great to represent you. I love you all. And I say with true passion, thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you.
Pretty hard to top that. Thank you for tuning in here to the Annie Frye Show. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the other news of the day. But that is the President of the United States, Donald Trump, speaking directly from the March for Life. From what I've sourced on the internet, about 10 times the amount of people at that rally than the previous rally marching for women's rights. This is for the right to life. And I think that the president being there blows my mind. And I just voted against Hillary in 2016. I can't wait to vote for Donald Trump in 2020. Welcome back to the Annie Frye Show. If you'd missed it, we just listened to Donald Trump deliver his speech from the March for Life. And I gotta say, I'm very impressed. It didn't sound like one of his political rallies. Sounded like he read what was given to him.
Yes.
He did a very good job.
With a little bit of spice in between.
So there's a lot of news going on right now, and the impeachment is definitely the biggest story, but it's this, like, continuation of the story. You are still traveling on this long journey, but you're in the middle boring part of this journey. The end will be exciting. The beginning is exciting. You're waiting to see if this ship capsizes on the way towards the end of this journey, but it's just rowing along. It's status quo. Democrats still making their case. And I know, yes, it's the House managers, but they're all Democrats, and the Democrats are the only one who voted for it. So, yawn. Period.
Do you think the end of this thing will be really exciting, or do you think they're just going to dismiss
it? Hell yeah, it's going to be exciting. They're trying to impeach the president. They're either going to win, or he's going to be acquitted, and that means that the Democrats are going to be responsible for this whole farce, all of this wasted time and tax dollars. That's exciting to me.
I don't think we're going to hear witnesses at all. I think that we're going to hear Republicans make a case probably tomorrow while we're all at home for why this thing should be just completely dismissed. And then sometime Tuesday, Wednesday, we might get a vote that says all done. And that vote will be exciting.
So one of the other stories that is kind of starting to really catch some momentum here is the coronavirus. It's hit the United States in several different locations. It's now been identified in Chicago, also in New Jersey, and I believe in L.A. And you got to ask yourself, are you worried about this? Are you focused in on this? We could take phone calls for the rest of this hour because we don't have anything booked specifically. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. I'm thinking of, was it SARS? I'm also thinking of swine flu, which was H1N1. I was pregnant with my firstborn. I guess it was 2009 when that hit. Yeah. And so the swine flu was like, it was like, if you're pregnant and you get this, you're dead. So I was pregnant.
Terrible time.
And I just was like, for the first time. And I was going through the normal rigors of being pregnant and not very good at being pregnant, folks. I support pregnant women and people who come up to me and know how pregnancy treated me. They come up and they're like, I know. If we're talking about pregnancy, they kind of get meek because they love being pregnant. A lot of people love being pregnant. I'm envious of you. That was not me. But I do love babies, and I do love children. But it was kind of extra terrifying to be pregnant during that thing. I always wonder when the next wave comes by, is this the same routine as all of the other ones, or is this like the one?
Yeah, do we really, really need to panic, or is it just like, okay, here comes another virus? I hate to sound so like blah about it.
Did I hear a 20-day incubation period? Ugh.
I know, but you hear, it is a little bit weird because you're like, how many people died of the flu last year? And we're like, there is a new virus and it has killed someone.
Well, I mean, it's killed more than some one person.
I know in China, but in the United States, it's a big news story because now two people have died from it. Not insignificant, but also two people compared to the amount of people who died from just the plain flu last year is really not that comparable.
So I guess you don't care.
No, when I hear corona, I think beach party, not virus.
Well, I'm worried about it. And I'm going to be traveling here in about a week or so. And I think for the first time, I'm going to get a mask. I've never worn a mask. I've seen people wearing masks.
Me too.
And I'm like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, the airport is like full of germs. Germ city up in there.
It's very different, too, to have a disease or a situation like this, a virus that is coming from a remote location that is like exclusive, and then it travels over here for the first time. That's a way different situation than what we would normally deal with the flu. So I'll take some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. Kind of going to do an open line thing. And Gabe is coming in with us at 1:10. I'm trying to capture Rob in his 5 free minutes today. I'm trying to guilt trip him into coming in here because he's got like real business things to do. This is play for him. But he's got a lot going on. He is also the digital sales manager here, and he helps find digital solutions for you and your business. So you can reach out to us if you would like to connect with Rob. But we'll have Gabe coming in as well. So a lot of open lines, a lot of phone calls that I would like to take today and kind of get your feel of where you are in the impeachment, the coronavirus, the president's speech from the March for Life, the first time this has ever happened before. And wow, I mean, I got to tell you. I had nothing to add at the end of it. Just gratitude that he would be willing to put himself in that position. Let's talk to Cody. Thanks for calling the show, Cody.
Hey, Anna. How you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to touch base with you. As a father of 2 biological and 1 unbiological sons, we adopted. President Trump's speech just literally made me cry almost like a baby. I'm so thankful and proud that we've got a president who will not only show up to the march, but then speak in such magnitude that he did and not be afraid to reference our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just like, oh, my gosh. My hair is still standing up on my arms. I'm so proud of him.
Well, Cody, thank you so much for the phone call. Thanks for being here and listening to us so we could air that for you. You know, something that Cody just said here that I so much appreciate about this president is his lack of fear. He has no fear for anything. I guess maybe there's a healthy dose of fear that maybe keeps you viable in most scenarios. This man has no fear. Katie and I were watching, and I shared this in the Facebook page last night, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. This, I think it was about a 13-minute long appearance that Donald Trump did on The View in 2011. Man, it ain't the same today. Katie pointed out, like, you were like, they didn't love him.
Yeah, they seemed very skeptical of Trump. And they seemed like, well, we like him as a person. Especially Whoopi and especially Joy. You could tell they liked him as a person, but they just didn't know what his policies were about. And
I know he
stood.
Was Republican, so
correct.
Inherently. And again, you got to think in 2011, what's the landscape? Somebody's going to have to challenge Barack Obama. And they are both huge defenders of Barack Obama. I mean, impossibly defending Barack Obama. But there was a mutual respect there. There was a cadence with which they challenged him, but still talked to him. Barbara Walters was like almost in her Barbara Walters way, fawning over, like, I'm going to ask you hard questions, but I want you to know that I love you. And I want the people to know that I love you. But there was an interesting thing towards the end of it where the president talks about, they ask him, what are your insecurities? And then he actually hesitates and implicates that he has some insecurities. And he's like, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'll let you figure it out.
Because then you'll know.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting I'd encourage you to go to the Facebook page and check that out and let us know what you think about it, because it was something else. Steve, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, I want to comment on this coronavirus thing.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I think it was Ryan was saying he was thinking it was like beach party.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I had a flu shot. I never had one before. I had a pneumonia years back, and my pulmonologist talked my wife into go do the flu shot.
Yeah.
So I go and get it, and actually I get the flu, which like I said I would do. And it ended up being the coronavirus. I found out much afterwards that's what I ended up having. They
did
a big study.
You got the coronavirus from the flu shot?
Well, it just seemed to happen that way.
Yeah. I don't think that's scientifically possible, but
right. I'm just saying, it just kind of happened that way. It, you know, could be just coincidental or whatever. But
yeah.
You know, they didn't tell me what it was whenever I was there. It wasn't until much later. My pulmonologist said that they did a study or whatever, and that's what he said was I had the coronavirus, and I never heard of it. And I told myself, I drank Budweiser. What do you mean I got coronavirus?
Oh,
so
I get you. It's a beer joke. We have flu in my house right now. My daughter has flu right now. She got the flu vaccine. She got the nasal one. And I'm really glad that she did have the flu vaccine, because the way it's hitting her pretty hard, but it's manageable. She's not miserable, but she's coughing. She's got the sniffles. And so it's affecting her. I just don't think it's affecting her nearly as bad as it would have had she not had the flu shot. So I'm grateful she did. 314-241-9797. If you want to call us, Kevin, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how's it going?
Okay.
I called about the virus, mm-hmm. and, you know, technically, you know, if I was another country and I wanted to send over something nasty, I could infect my people and go visit, go on, and spread, you know, spread the goodness across another nation. And I don't know if, you know, we ever really look for that from another country.
Like biological warfare?
Yeah, basically. I mean, why not send something over they've never seen?
Well, the trouble is, though, that this has hit China much, much harder than it's hit us. I mean,
right,
if this
right.
were a change, I guess you could start
I don't think
that,
that's what's happening right
yeah.
now.
But, you know, there's something to consider. But going to babies, and I was thinking about this more, you know, more than my original comment. I've got a 13-month-old right now. My boys are grown. My sister-in-law has hit a rough patch, and we had her baby for about 4 or 5 days. Now she's staying with us temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And babies are... they may be unplanned. They may not be timed. It may even be, quote, unexpected. But they're not accidents, as like Obama once said. I don't want my daughter to pay for an accident or a mistake. They're not a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, this little guy here, he's got a little medical issue, but, he, you know, he's helping me do laundry as we're talking to you. And
mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I can't imagine him not being here.
Yeah.
That someone would say that's not life.
Kevin, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I'll say, too, that even when you plan a pregnancy, it's never easy. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. The thing that I stump the most when I talk about pro-life issues is that there are two hearts beating inside a clinic room where a woman is being presented with a choice to end the life of the baby growing inside of her. The pro-life movement loses so much ground when we fail to acknowledge the woman sitting in that room, potentially alone, having to make that decision for her, for the rest of her life, one way or the other. She will have to live with however she chooses, because she can choose right now. It's the law. She can choose to save that baby and raise that baby, or give the baby up for adoption and provide a life for that child, and refuse to make the implications of what it's going to be to carry that child to term and deliver it and potentially hand it over, or potentially sacrifice whatever is coming next after that in order to raise that baby. Listen, folks, it's a huge sacrifice to raise a baby. And I only have experience in doing it in a family setting in my household, where it was a welcomed bit of news. The woman sitting in that clinic, and if she's sitting there by herself, Don't turn that woman into a villain. Help her understand the value of choosing life. She still matters in this equation, and the pressure is on her shoulders. And there are men who don't get a say in that decision. The woman does it, maybe even without their knowledge. But that's because these women are presented and pressured, depending on where they go to have this situation handled. If you go to a place like Thrive in St. Louis or Mosaic in Illinois, and you get all of the real, true information presented to you, you can make a decision on your own. They won't help you at those places with abortion, but they will provide you with all of the facts and information and prayerful hope that you will choose life. But we work too hard to protect the baby and to villainize the mother. We can protect both of those people and still choose life. That's how we win the day on this issue, and it has to be emphasized. A single woman, a young woman who gets pregnant and is faced with the choice to choose life or to choose herself, that is a terrible decision for anybody to have to be put into. And if she's put into there and she's responsible for 100% of the decision, but only 50% of the original action, we have to consider that when we speak on this issue. I'm not saying don't speak life. Please always speak life. But make sure that your words show that woman that life does exist for her after she chooses life. It will be difficult, but we support those women. We support them in their decision to choose life. We don't point at them. We don't judge them. We help them choose life. And we will win that way. More phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Gabe Pfeiffer in studio at 1 o'clock. And as I'm watching the impeachment thing, it's more the same. Except for it says final day of their opening arguments. There's some good news for the folks. More phone calls when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Did this week feel like a lifetime for you? This was the short week, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. So,
well,
yes, it was.
You were here Monday.
Yeah, but most people had today off. So did this feel like a normal week for you? It felt like a normal week for me. Short weeks for me, when I have a short week, feels like they take forever. They go on forever. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Everything seems as though it's
moving in slow motion. Yeah. Totally.
So a short week done here, not too long from now. And are we supposed to get more weather?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I looked last night. I'm going to have to get an update from Dave Murray.
Yeah. Because it seemed as though the event, I woke up this morning and there was snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a snow blanket, but there was definitely evidence of snow that had hit us. But it seems like we kind of maybe missed it. So It's very, very good for that. 314-241-9797 if you would like to join the show. Ellen, thanks for calling. Hey, Ellen.
Yeah,
you there?
Hi.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, I am, Annie. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I just want to thank you so much for what you said before the break about the women who have to face the difficult decision of potentially getting up an abortion or just an unexpected pregnancy. Because I think it's wonderful that you hear that, and I think it's unfortunate that in our kind of polarized world, it's become you're evil or you're good, right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's a real, I know I'm 40 years old, so I know women who've had abortions. I know women who've faced unexpected pregnancies and had their children and, have had wonderful, children despite those circumstances. So it bothers me as I was thinking that the Democrats, those on the left who support abortion, have sort of tried to corner the market on they're the voice of women.
Yeah.
When in reality, what you're describing is very much an understanding of what a woman who is faced with this difficult circumstance has to go through. And I'd love to see our politicians and others who are pro-life kind of come at it maybe more from that message of, wait a minute, what are the ways that we can support people who find themselves so desperate that they are looking at terminating a pregnancy? How do we, market that, the tools and the places that they can go to get support.
Yeah.
How do we start to maybe create more of a message? Because it's a complicated, heart-wrenching situation.
Ellen, thank you so much.
For any woman.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I really appreciate you calling the show and highlighting that, because I think you're so spot on. The pro-life issue has come down to, at its grossest surface level, one side wants to point their finger at the women who are in there and say you're baby murderers. And the other side wants to point at everyone and say they're sexist, misogynist, people who hate women. Most of the people who have an opinion on this issue are probably neither one of those are at neither one of those places. It's a tough decision. It's hard to raise children. It changes your life. My future and my the repercussions of me if I had another child or when I've had kids, my life was altered in ways that my husband's wasn't. And my husband has been there every step of the way. So when you factor in an unplanned pregnancy with an absent father who was as responsible for this action as the woman, who oftentimes isn't there, and the scenario does exist too, where women go and take care of these things and the man doesn't ever even have a say in it. Mm-hmm. We're not having the real conversation here, which is it a baby or not? Simple enough. Not what do you do with it? What is it? Let's decide on that first. Is it a human life? I say, of course it is. The location of your person doesn't determine your personhood. So it's a very disingenuous argument to suggest that it's just not a baby until it passes through the birth canal. That's absolutely ridiculous. I just saw a photo on Twitter of someone who delivered at 31 weeks. And the tiny little baby who was in the NICU for a while, you know, just these very, very small babies. They're now 40 weeks old, like post-birth. And they're just, you would never see that child and go, well, you were born early.
Mm-hmm.
But that baby is completely abortable. If that baby, it's the location of the child that determines whether or not the woman, the mother, can off it. And we don't focus on the woman who has to make that decision. We don't tell her how we will help her. Good grief, we give $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood.
Turns
around and donates millions and millions of dollars to Democratic politicians so they can keep their racket up. It's a business, folks. It's an industry. That money goes into Planned Parenthood. They say they don't use it for abortion, but go look at their books and see how much of their profit, the percentage of their profit that they make, that they function off of, that comes from abortions. I have said for a long time, let's fund women's health centers. Let's treat it exactly like education. We don't fund education that includes religion. We are a separation of church and state. So if you don't want to include religion in the women's health centers or in the schools, let's not fund women's health centers that include abortion. If it's a legal process in our country, which it is right now, I wish it weren't, but it is, then let's not fund a single penny towards a woman's health center that offers abortive services anywhere. Let's still put the money behind women's health. Let's still make sure they're getting the screenings that they need, like breast screenings, mammograms that a lot of Planned Parenthoods don't even do. Let's still help these women get the health care that they need, because that's important. I understand that. Let's just do it in places that don't give abortive services. And then let the free market decide how they want to make that happen, how they want to make that work. I guarantee you it will rise to the occasion. And if Planned Parenthoods around the country want to continue to provide abortions to people and they can stand on their own, then we got to fight it. The rest of it in court. But until then, no more money to Planned Parenthood. And let's prop up those different facilities, those different industries that are helping women get the health care they need without providing them the service of abortion. I think that's pretty simple. We fund education as long as it's a public education facility and it doesn't include religious attributes to it. Do the same thing with women's health care. We will fund it, but not with abortive services, because everybody doesn't agree on it. Plus, it's murder. I don't know. Thanks, Donald Trump, for speaking at the March for Life. Pretty excited about that. Gabe Pfeiffer is going to be in studio with us when we come back. We can get his opinion on this and the impeachment. We haven't talked to him since the impeachment has started, so we'll see what he thinks about it. So Gabe Pfeiffer on YouTube is St. John the Philosopher in studio in a minute. We'll also hear from Hans von Spakovsky, who was on the show with us yesterday and really broke down where we are so far in this impeachment process. Tony Colombo joins us as well before the show wraps up. Make sure you're watching us on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/AndyFryShow. I didn't tell you guys about the ad that I got kicked back. I said I was going to talk about that. I didn't. I'll tell you about that when we come back. I put up an ad to get people to see our Facebook page, and I was wearing a MAGA shirt. Facebook said no. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.